The best part of coming to Qatar for me has been the realizing that there's no one way to pronounce Qatar. Everybody, right? I mean, we've heard it pronounced Qatar, 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 with or without the rolled R.
Yeah.
So that's all very encouraging. Well, like, we can't make a mistake. Am I right?
Well, it was like when, you know, before I left, I'd say Qatar to people, and they would say, you mean Qatar? And everyone I said Qatar to, they said Qatar.
Right.
And so now I guess everyone was correct.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 483, Welcome Back, Qatar. We just returned from a glorious 10-day trip to the Middle Eastern country of Qatar, a peninsular country sticking up from the Saudi Arabia with the Gulf of Bahrain on its west coast and the Persian Gulf on its east. We were invited by the Park House English School to give three school performances, two public performances, and a special private performance at the British Embassy. We also taught workshops at Park House, the Doha British School, and Sherborne Academy. It was a fascinating trip to a part of the world we rarely visit, and Dan Saske and Tiger Reel sat down with me in the hotel's smoky pub to talk about our experience.
It's my understanding that Qatar is more of a dialect, a regional dialect in the Arabian Peninsula. So it's a little like telling people to pronounce America, Merca.
Oh, right.
And the Brits seem to exclusively say Qatar.
Yeah, Qatar.
Yeah.
But also, if you're referring to a local, you would say the Qatari.
Qatari,
you know.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say a Qatari.
Right.
You would say a Qatari.
And I've heard locals say Qatar.
And Qatari Hero is something totally different.
Yes.
Qatar Hero.
It's a video game that yes, exactly.
All right. Well, so that's all. Well, and these have been the burning issues we've been debating and dealing with as we've done our first. I don't think it's the Reduced Shakespeare Company's first foray into a Muslim country, because we've performed, the RSC UK has performed in Dubai, and we've performed in Israel before, and we performed in Dearborn, Michigan. So, anyway, we've had a lot of experience coming over here. No, it's been really interesting coming over here, not the least of which is that it's raining here in the desert. You guys from California have seen more rain.
Yeah, I've seen more rain in the Middle East than I have in the last 2 years in California.
Yes, but then again, leaving the Bay Area, I left right before the rain started, and I'm pretty sure it's been raining every day, four or five days that we've been here. I think it's been raining there, so.
This is probably the nicest hotel I think we've ever stayed in, the Intercontinental Hotel Doha by the beach. What was your experience like getting from the airport in the car to the hotel, Dan?
I mistook myself for royalty the way I was treated. Obviously, that's really awesome.
Well, 18 people greeted us by name before we had even entered the lobby of the hotel.
Don't think about carrying your own bag. I mean, don't even think about it.
Forget about it.
Despite how much it might be more convenient for you to hang on to your own bags and take them to your room yourself, no, forget it. When you are living the life we lead now here in Qatar, you let other people carry your bags. It's really kind of decadent. I guess that's the word I'm looking for, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little like the hotels here in Qatari, I'll just call it George, are a little like Vegas hotels minus the casinos. Multiple restaurants, multiple amenities, and they treat you like
royalty.
Yeah, royalty. Yeah. Saudi princes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Minus the gambling, and I've seen very, very, very few showgirls here.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I guess I will say, when I first knew I was coming here, I guess I expected to see a lot fewer Westerners, a lot fewer women all by themselves, more women completely covered up. And no, there's not. There's a lot of Westerners, a lot of people dressed modestly. Nobody's dressed. It doesn't seem overly conservative at all.
There's people, right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, the week before coming here, I was considering maybe I shouldn't even bring shorts. Right. I think that's frowned upon if I wear shorts, especially if they at some point are above my knee.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. And I've. It seems like everybody is dressed very, you know, much casually, and flip flops and sandals and T-shirts are fine.
Well, and I was discovered that it's a nation of immigrants. Yeah. I mean, it's 80% immigrant. Is that the statistics?
That's right. Yeah.
So it's like, to quote Hamilton, immigrants, we get the job done.
Yeah.
You know, that's been very interesting. So it does seem welcoming to people from all over the world. We have come up against some issues of the show, which we could talk. Yeah, which we could. Yes, we could talk about it in a few minutes. But it's been very interesting talking with these kids. Again, these are my own prejudices. I thought there would be a lot more repression, a lot more, the schools here would be a lot stricter. But these kids that we've seen, and they're international kids, because their parents are international parents, they come from all walks, and they are as good of kid audiences as we've played to ever.
Yeah, I lived for 3 years in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, school age. 7 to 9-ish, and so it's been kind of a flashback for me. So that's not so much of a surprise to me. It's very much like the school experience I had when I was living here.
Okay.
Although that was back in 19 whatever, and Saudi Arabia is certainly even by the standards of Qatar is a very conservative country. Women can't drive,
right?
And that sort of thing. So it is interesting to see certain things that aren't along that lines. Plenty of women driving, Western women by themselves for the most part, that sort of thing. My mom would not have gone out of the compound we lived in by herself ever.
Well, that's it, and that's interesting too. Is that the notion of compounds? You see all these different housing developments that look like compounds because they're surrounded by just big walls. So you drive down the highway and you're going past walls blocking off compounds, which is interesting. Not a lot of greenery. Not a lot of trees.
Probably because there's so much construction going on.
Yeah.
If there was greenery, it's been pulled up, and you know, because they're digging and building and.
Well, yeah, I mean it's a relatively new country, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They 71, I believe, is when they gained independence. It was a British protectorate until then.
Okay.
And then before that, you know, it's just Bedouins, nomads living in the desert. The Qatari are basically a generation or two away from living in tents.
Wow, it's very cool. Well, and of course, all the construction you're talking about is that they are going to host, controversially, Qatar is going to host the 2022 World Cup. And so we've driven past the big, huge stadium that they're building to host that, and they're putting in a metro system that's going up and down the country, which should ease the congestion considerably, because everywhere we've driven, everybody said, well, it's a 15-minute drive, except with all the traffic, it's a 40-minute drive, a 45-minute drive. But the theater we're in is beautiful. It's the Drama Theater at the Qatar Center. And, there's this, I posted this picture on Facebook and Twitter. There's the ceiling is this nighttime sky full of stars. I love it, and I don't know why you would do it, except that it looks beautiful.
Yeah, and I love that. I think it was the second show we did this week was that those stars were on the entire show.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
The house lights went out, and that was all fine. But, right, I think we all realized it when we all end up dying. It's just acting. We're all fine.
Yeah.
When we all end up dying in Hamlet, at the end of Hamlet, we're all sitting there looking up at the sky like, whoa. Or looking at the ceiling,
right.
Looking at the night sky, which was pretty cool.
Hi, this is Cynthia Ryder, Executive Director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and this is the podcast for the Reduce Shakespeare Company.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This Saturday, you can see us perform The Complete History of Comedy Abridged in Allentown, Pennsylvania, followed by performances later in the month and this spring in North Andover, Massachusetts, Schaumburg, Illinois, Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. And of course, next month, from April 21st to May 8th, we'll perform our world premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Theater, the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with my fellow actors Dan Sasky and Tiger Reel.
You guys have been better tourists than I have. Have you gone out and seen some cool things?
Yeah, we saw. We went to the Souq Waqif, which is an old market, outdoor market. Kind of what you think about when you hear of an Arabian market, like in Indiana Jones or something, you know. But it's been renovated, I believe, in the last 15, 20 years or so. So there is a kind of, not Disney-esque quality to it. And you'd have to look hard at it to kind of get the idea, oh, this is not entirely really old,
right?
But they do a good job, and it's really charming.
Yeah, it just seemed absolutely authentic to me. I mean, all the, you know, these rows of, I just call them alleys for lack of a better word, these right. Very narrow alleys that were full of, you know, shops upon shops upon shops. All these small little areas that were, you know, selling fabrics and rugs and.
Right.
And some of them were just selling, like, you know, Hello Kitty T-shirts. I mean, you know.
Well, my son has demanded that I bring him home a Qatari snow globe. Did you see any of those?
No, did see Falcons and the Spice Market area. It's sort of like, it's sort of cordoned off into different areas of what they sell. And the Spice Market area was really cool because you just walk in, you walk through there and you have this wafting smell of cumin and right. Saffron and whatever else is in the air. It's very charming.
And the shisha.
Yes,
of course.
Oh yeah, what's shisha?
Well, shisha is the. I guess we wouldn't call it tobacco. I guess it's hookah tobacco.
Okay.
You know. You know, legal tobacco. I mean, this is legal in the States as well, although I don't think we call it shisha. I think we call it hookah smoke.
They have hookah bars in Los Angeles, right. Certainly. Right. Hookah is the device. Shisha is the tobacco.
We also went to the
Museum of Islamic Art,
okay.
MIA, which has a... The building itself is actually a piece of art.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed by I.M. Pei. It's really gorgeous and striking, and then a lot of the art inside is very interesting. I'm a fan of the arabesque, the kind of geometric patterns,
okay.
Because depicting humans is in public art is not allowed.
Okay.
You could in domestic art, but so they created these pattern, you know, arabesque patterns. To signify the universe and the interconnectedness of all living things, and there's really some very gorgeous and some very odd looking things.
Well, what is domestic art then?
That would be bowls, pottery, things like that that weren't used in a mosque or as part of a ritual or anything.
Oh, okay.
So we did see some, and there were some portraits and things like that done by I believe. Non-Muslim artists. We saw some cool photographs of women in the traditional burqas or other covered head coverings with like a boombox.
Oh, neat.
Or in front of Marlboro cigarettes, that sort of thing. It's sort of like Andy Warhol meets Muhammad.
Which is probably not a joke we'd be allowed to tell here. You know, it's been very. That's been the interesting part of performing here is that we're doing the complete works of William Shakespeare, a show we've toured all over the world, and we were told before we came here that public displays of affection are forbidden. You know, so no kissing, no hand holding, so, and I think homosexuality is illegal, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So the moment at the end of Romeo and Juliet, where Romeo says, "There with a kiss I die," and goes to kiss Juliet, and Juliet, played by Dan, is already, "Yeah, let's do this, yeah, and the character, it's written in the script that the character is reluctant, but then they do the kiss, and no matter where we go around the world, maybe with the excluding Northern California, audiences go, "Ew," and then we get the second laugh of when Romeo and Juliet finally kiss, Romeo says, and they go, "Ew," and Romeo says, "Get over it." Well, that was a moment that was right out. We cut that completely, and we thought, "Okay, well, good for us. We've done our bit." Turned out we hadn't done our bit, so we did the show. We did the show Monday morning for the kids. I guess there was some complaint that there were some words. Apparently, we said the worst word possible: crap.
Well, it wasn't just that we said it. It was part of our audience participation bit where we have the audience say crap.
Well, yes, the famous bit from the audience participation section where we get section C to say, "Cut the crap, Hamlet. My biological clock is ticking and I want babies now." Well, it turned out that was wrong on all sorts of levels.
Every word was incorrect.
Every single word there was incorrect. Yeah. But it wasn't, yes, they had to say it, but then we had to cut every reference, we had to cut every instance of crap where it occurred, and in fact, we all did. And so the next, so we've done three student performances this week, and the second performance, we were all in our heads going, "Oh, I better not say that word, I better change that word, better change this word," and I think I'm the only one who screwed up and said, you know, Troilus and Cressida is hardly crap at all, and the minute it came out of my mouth, I went, "Shoot."
Yeah.
I literally went, "Shoot."
It would have only been better if you said crap and then went, "Shit." That would have been the only thing to make that moment better.
I know. I failed you.
Gotten us deported as well.
I know. I failed you guys. But then we made those changes, and then we still heard and said, no. I mean, everybody errs on the side of caution here, which they're probably wise to do. But it's been very interesting to try to put together a version of the show that is safe for essentially 5-year-olds. Right, and once we today we seem to accomplish that on Wednesday, we seem to accomplish that version of the show,
it's the reduced.
Yes, and of course what's interesting is that the show still works. The show still works with all these, I don't know, I'll say it, censored bits. I mean, the kids still love it, and we've done these workshops at these three schools this week, which Dan Sasky has primarily led. And they've been just great. These kids have been so into what we've been doing, and they so enjoyed the show, and the faculty of these schools have so enjoyed the show. It's been really great. That part of it has been really great. Sitting in Doha traffic has not been great.
But. Right, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get the privilege of sitting in the audience. I don't know. Is it a privilege? I don't know. Sitting in the audience in the beginning of the show and then, you know, getting made fun of, you know, as part of the
right.
show. But so I get to see the buzz in the audience. And these students have been, I mean, wide-eyed and squirming in their seats,
right,
waiting for the show to begin. And it's been so great having these workshops afterwards. And, I mean, why would I ever think that these kids would be any different than any other kids that I teach?
Right.
You know, they weren't reserved at all. They were ready to, express themselves and participate and have fun, just like they were doing during the shows,
right,
of course.
Yeah. What's funny is, I mean, this is the thing. The guy, one of the teachers we were talking to today, was asking, you've been to Israel? What's that like? I said, you know, it's a lot like here. The nut jobs get all the press, and people are just people. You know, and I think that's the best thing about traveling to all these places, that you come in, I come in with my prejudices and my preconceptions of what the place is going to be, and I go, oh, right, it's just like home. People are people, and politicians are jerks. And jerk is another word I can't say.
Right.
Right.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite censored word via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Shake Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Catherine Edwards. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Cynthia Ryder, Executive Director of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Thanks also to Tiger Reel for the hashtag Welcome Back Cutter, which gave me this week's title. And to our stage manager, Elaine Randolph, and of course, company goddess, Ali Bostedt, for making the shows work technically. And to Dan and Tiger for making them work comedically when we had to adjust the material. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 1449ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
So, we got a day off tomorrow. What are your plans?
We're going dune bashing, which is jumping in an SUV, going out to the middle of the desert near the Saudi Arabian border, and going across the dunes like a roller coaster.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah!
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.